Hi, this is Billy Sims. When I want to spice up my barbecue, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions broadcast show.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, the guys people are talking about when they discuss monkeys and footballs. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 242. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris. And with me is my good friend and co-host, Jeff the Riz, Mr. Lions Wire Rizden. How you doing, buddy?
It is good to be back with you. I haven't been in here in a little bit. It's about time you had me back.
I know, man. I always feel bad when you're not here, and I always feel good when you are here. got a big show today. We're going to talk about the Bears game. We'll get through that. Don't worry. There's a lot of pain still in that one, I know. We'll talk about what's the plan here in Detroit. What are we doing as a team? What's the front office doing? We got to take a look at that. We haven't done that in a little bit, and I think people right now are looking for some info there. Also, we're going to talk about Matthew Stafford. That Iron Man streak was broken. Where is he? What's going on? What's the look ahead of him? And also, we're going to look ahead at the Cowboys game coming up. There's that and a whole lot more. Great show lined up. You ready to go, Riz?
Let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, first, a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from... God, you're so good at that. Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, and Brian Burkheiser from Hyperfail. I'm going to see you, buddy. Saturday. I'm going to the band. I'm going to see the band. You can join Brian. You can join Riz, me, Case, Mathis, Dylan. Everybody's hanging. Everyone cool, at least, is hanging out at the Slack chat in our wonderful world of Detroit Lions Podcast. Go to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Subscribe. You know, it's a donation thing. You do as little as $1 a month, but anything more is most appreciated. Once you get in there, it automatically gets you an invite to the Slack chat, and you can have some of the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. And I gotta say, Riz dropped a little nugget, and we can't talk about it just yet, but we get nuggets there too. It's fun. It's really awesome. And you get access to other kinds of things. We just had a big giveaway. We'll announce winner of that and some other really, really great stuff going on. So patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get in there and set up a donation and have some fun with us. Give us a like on Facebook, Instagram, wherever. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Instagram is Detroit Lions Podcast. No posts yet, but we've got something special for you. Get in there, follow so you can see it. And of course, on Twitter, the amazing Twitter. We're always out and about there at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast. It's the very best place to see the Riz.
With no pants.
That's what I buy. Or you can see him on YouTube with no pants. Well, from the shoulders up at least. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. We recorded this show. We do the live post game show there all the time. Check it out. You'll love it. And when you subscribe and hit that bell, you get notified every time we put new stuff up. It's a great way to hang out with the show. And again, we're going to be live streaming from the suite for the whole Cowboys game, so be ready to check that out.
Sweet.
That's going to be awesome. Rate us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Skechers, wherever you find it, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you let people know. Give us that top 5-star review, because it's forever. And of course, we're always open to your critical thinking. Hit us in the subreddit, leave a message, and we're happy to talk about it there. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And we got to start out with the big contest. Okay, are you okay with that?
Yes.
Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Sweet deal here. Thank you again to Sandman who put this together. Riz can't go. He's in trouble because he's making too many trips to the east side of the state. And he is one of these times the family thinks he's going for a pack of cigarettes and not going to show back up.
That's a true story.
Yeah. So we've got Sandman. We've got myself. We even tried to peel Case out of North Dakota, but he's trapped on a colder than Mars day. So he can't make it. But don't worry. We got let's see, there's me, Sandman, and you. That means 9 other of our closest friends all hanging out in a suite with food, soft drinks, the whole thing. It's a huge, huge thing. Great way to see the Cowboys game, which I guess is the biggest game at Ford Field this year for the Lions. Biggest ticket sales, the whole thing. So who's the winner? Jeff C., also known as Gerfic. But that goes, it's weird to say, but he says, yeah, they just call it Jeff. That's an old joke. Congratulations, my man. You are the big winner, and we'll see you at the suite. I'll get in touch with you here very shortly. We'll get you your ticket handed over, and we'll go make that happen. He'll be able to take part in the pregame show, halftime show, do a lot of that fun and fun and gun stuff. And also, over on the Sega side, we got a winner, Kyle H., military member. All right, I love to see that. He originally won the suite tickets, but he's in the service and he's on base and can't get back to Detroit right now. So he won the Sega Genesis Mini Arcade Retro System deal. Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, like in where he's at, this might be something that'd be a good way to kill some time and have some fun. So
my God, it's cool. I want that.
It is so cool. Bad. Check this out. It's got Dig Dug. That's one of my favorites. It's got Sonic 1, Sonic 2. It's got Virtua Fighter. God, I always forget all the different ones it's got. It's got so many darn things.
It's amazing how they've created all these emulating things. I wanted the Atari 2600 one because
Mega Man. Story,
back to my childhood, I was like the coolest kid in first grade because I got an Atari because my mom worked at a department store that sold them.
Nice.
I was like the first kid in my town to have an Atari. So I hated all kinds of people that were like, hey, can we go over to Jeff's house?
I never got an Atari. I wound up... my friend had one. I loved it. I begged my parents forever, and it was just like pound sand, boy. We did eventually get a ColecoVision, which is really, really cool in its own place, but it was like had a short span to be able to be used. But
yeah, it didn't have a very long prime. Yeah.
No. Street Fighter, Road Rash. You got Earthworm Jim, Castlevania, all kinds of great stuff. All kinds of Tetris, all kinds of awesome stuff. So congratulations, Kyle. Congratulations, Jeff. Thank you guys for being Patreon supporters and everybody that support us. Thank you. Awesome. We'll keep coming with the giveaways as we can get them. I also have to thank Peter Von Panda for the Sega thing. He donated that as a gift to do as a giveaway. YouTube.com, Peter Von Panda. He's a huge supporter of the show. Great, great friend and all around funny dude for real. Check him out. Check out his YouTube channel. Give him a subscription. Last time I looked, he cracked like 80,000. I think he's closer now to 90,000 subscribers. He's got a good deal going on over there.
I'll drink to that.
All right. So let's talk about football. I know it's a football podcast, but we had to get through that part with our big winners. And we kind of wanted to avoid talking about this. Future Hall of Famer Jeff Driscoll led this team, against the Bears this week. It was a real surprise on Sunday morning that this was the case. I literally woke up at like 11:50 to texts from Sandman and I forget who else, and then the Slack chat had lit up my phone like crazy. I'm like, what in the hell happened while I was hungover and asleep? Jeff, was it Sunday morning when you found out too, like everybody?
It is. I do the Sunday morning radio show on ESPN 96.1 in Grand Rapids.
Ooh, that had to be exciting.
if you're ever in Grand Rapids, come out to Slows in the downtown market. We broadcast from there. The brunch is awesome. Jim Costa and I host the show.
Big Jim.
About 9 o'clock in the morning, we were running notes back on each other because we send ourselves notes on what we want to talk about.
And that's Jim from the Big Drew and Jim show out there, right?
It is.
Yeah, okay. Just want to give him credit for it. I called him Big Jim. I know he's not Big Jim, but...
No, he is not. I'm actually bigger than Drew now, which is kind of crazy, but that's my own cross to bear.
boot to walk.
Yeah, so I leave home about 9 o'clock, and as I'm getting in the car to go... is when the news breaks that he is officially going to be out. So I'm on the phone with him as I'm driving there and we're talking about it and, you know, scrap the show plan. Cause we were going to go really, really hard on Mark D'Antonio in Michigan State. And we're like, oh, nope. Now he has something to talk about. it's crazy. You know, we knew that he was injured, and if you go back and watch it, and I'm sure most people who would be listening to this have the interest in doing it, go back to the Raiders game and watch where Stafford got sacked the one time where he kind of got twisted.
Right.
Because it is a torque twisting. It's not a impact one. It's a twisting. That's how you That's how you break your transverse processes, which is apparently what he did. It's what he did last year. We don't know yet for sure if it's the same ones or if it's different ones. It, from what I gather, it's kind of hard to break the same ones again. So it's probably different ones.
Wow. That's interesting that you can't break the same ones again. And maybe it's because they stay broken.
Well, no, it's actually so little Jeff update here. I injured my foot and heel a little over a month ago. I went back to my orthopedist this week for a follow-up, and we wound up talking about this quite a bit. He said that when you break those bones, and I'll use my finger as an example because I've broken this finger four times.
Okay, YouTubers, this is your chance to shine.
Yes. So this finger has been broken, and the bone has fused back together such that I can't really bend it up here. I mean, that actually kind of hurts.
Right.
But it's also much more stable. It will be it's like impossible for me to break that finger again because there's so much bone scar tissue in there.
Right.
That's what happens in your back. And if you break it again, it's like really bad. Like he wouldn't have gotten up.
Right. Wow.
It's the long and the short of it. So that was my orthopedist.
That's Dr. my only Stewart, deformity. By the way.
Great, great dude. Thanks, Bruce.
That's my only, I have one other deformity, but I can't show it because it's a family show. Elephantitis. Terrible. Just terrible. I don't know where these people come up with this stuff. So no, that sounds like a pretty rough deal.
I'll just go a little bit more on this. And again, we do not know where Stafford's injury is. He said the lower in your back it is, the worse it is. Now we do know that last year it was the three vertebrae that are directly above your coccyx.
Oh, you had to use that, didn't you? You couldn't just say tailbone. Okay, I gotcha. Your
coccyx. So I think the injury this year is, again, I'm just guessing here, is probably a little bit higher up.
Sure.
That's why he's going to have the recovery that he does, which is 2, 3, 4, maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, so football doc said maybe expect him back by Thanksgiving, but you heard...
Well, again, my orthopedist here said that he would advise, and then again, he doesn't know what Stafford has. Keep that in mind. Right. He would advise him to take that break and the long break after that, and then come back. Because you'll get a full month off of practices that way and come back and then reevaluate. You know, go hard in practice that week as if you're going to play. And that's sort of the time frame. And Pro Football Doc has talked about that. And somebody else, I think it was, what's her name on ESPN? She did. Stefania Bell talked about it too, about how it's probably 2 weeks of no practice at all. And then you go and you see how much pain tolerance he has, how much torque he can put in his back, how much twisting he can do, how much running he can do. Does he get any weakness in his legs? Does he get any weakness in his hips? Does he get hip dysplasia out of it, which is a common side occurrence?
Yeah, I see that.
Right. And so if he passes those, then he could probably play, and he probably could theoretically play on Thanksgiving or the week after that. The question would be, though,
Do you
want him to play?
Do you? Right.
Right.
And with future Hall of Famer Jeff Driscoll, why push it? Right.
So I'm going to ask you, what did you think of Driscoll? I did not listen to the postgame show. I'll be honest about that.
Sure.
What did you think of Driscoll's performance?
It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. How about I'll start there? Right. I can't say he did great, but he got 269 yards, a touchdown and an interception. I believe I'm working straight from memory. Right. That's pretty good for a guy who found out that day that he was going to play. I feel like he was no superstar. He's not my starter, but the house wasn't on fire. I mean, we were within a touchdown at the end. You take that interception away, and we very likely could have won that game.
Let me lay this statistic on you. I got this because I'm doing a little bit of research.
I'm going to feel like an idiot. I know. Riz loves to set me up for these things.
No, you're not going to look like an idiot. Jeff Driscoll was pressured on 36.4% of his dropbacks. Oh, I don't know the exact numbers, but that probably works out to
a third.
6 out of 14.
Yeah.
A little bit higher than that. 6 out of 15, maybe. Mm-hmm. I know that. I'm shitty at math. Forget it.
5 out of 15.
In close and late situations, that is fourth quarter and games that are decided by less than 2 scores. So he was under a lot of pressure.
Yep.
I thought he did okay.
And
I thought he was the Jeff Driscoll that I saw from Louisiana Tech, and not the guy at Florida who was supposed to be Tebow and couldn't be that.
Right.
I saw the guy who I watched last year in Cincinnati get starts, who is not good at hitting timing routes, but can make things happen outside the pocket, can run, can throw on the move.
Yep.
He was leading rusher. He had 37 yards rushing. He was the leading rusher on the day. That means he also did this without any run support.
Yes.
None. Yes. There was none. After Ty Johnson went out with the concussion, J.D. McKissic played more snaps at running back than he had the entire season.
Can I give you some strategy for this week?
Yeah.
Go to the Wildcat and snap it directly to Driscoll. Oh, wait.
By the way, he is the fastest Detroit Lion who's on the active roster right now.
I believe it. That's what I was talking about. His speed was pretty impressive. The fear is he takes a hit.
He hit 21.87 miles per hour. That is faster than any current Lion hit on the
incredible
speedometer last year.
That is incredible speed. Really, I mean, when you think about it, holy
crap. Why isn't he playing wide receiver is a better question.
Well, maybe we can talk
about that with Lamar Jackson. We can talk about it with Jeff Driscoll too.
No, he looks good running, and he it's not like he didn't have any moves, right? I mean, so many times when the quarterback runs, it's a little galloping giggles, right? But this he did a pretty good job. I mean, look, and especially you get a week to prepare with him. You get some time to kind of tweak what
he's
plays you're calling.
All the first team reps this week. He got. Depending on which beat writer you believe, he either got 10% or 25% last week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll split the difference and say he got about 20.
Yeah.
That ain't 100.
And let's the other part of it is all of that, and he played on the road in Chicago, which isn't easy, right?
Pretty good defense, too.
Yeah, yeah. So
led the team to a score on the opening drive. I was very impressed by that. Yeah. I liked seeing that a lot.
Yeah.
I think the team believed in him after that. They're like, hey, you know what? Maybe we're not going to lose this game. Maybe this guy can do something.
And it felt
I wish he would throw the ball down the field more. I wish he would take more chances. That was the big knock against him in Cincinnati. And it was true again. Yeah. When he throw it down the field, good things happen. Kenny Golladay catches a long touchdown pass. Hello.
Well, we have some Kenny Golladay issues this week as well we can talk about. But the thing about it was it felt like they changed things up after that first and second drive, and they started using him differently, and they went to this stupid run up the middle that we can, as we talked about, the rushing yards were a failure this week. I hate to say it, but the Detroit Lions have just been cursed at running back forever. We should be wise enough to know, and I know Bevell likes to use the run. It is obviously we're back into that mode where we got to set the run up with a pass. That's a perfect kind of a role for a McKissic kind of back, right? It's a perfect way. If you can focus your offense that way, you can do a lot better than this. Try to hand it up the middle behind. Well, I don't want to blame coaching yet, but guys that just aren't finding the hole, aren't hitting the right hole. And then using the pass to bail yourself out because you put Driscoll in a tough spot every time you're at third and 10. And then say, okay, now we're going to pass the ball. I love Bevell. I love the offense and how explosive it can be. But I think after the second possession, they kind of misused him and the offense last week, and I think they could have done better.
I agree with that. I am so tired of running on first and 10, and then it's second and 9, and you don't even run an aggressive run play. Like, I can understand, okay, let's do a smash mouth here. Let's get McKissic or whoever, Paul Perkins, not that he can run, but
he got
6-7 yards on 6 carries.
Right.
Get them where they're running towards the line of scrimmage when they get the ball and have a defined hole for them. Maybe have a tight end pull across and chip or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't like the passive ones where you have a wraparound draw play.
Oh, God.
Everybody knows that's coming.
Right.
I'm sick of that. And that was a criticism of Bevell in both Minnesota and Seattle.
Yep.
Was that the obvious, they run way too much on second and long.
Yep.
That's been a criticism of Bevell forever. He has not learned. He still doesn't.
Can I, are you good there? I'd like to move on to a little bit different part of the Bears game.
Yeah, please.
Something
do.
that drove some conversation. The incredible, screams about the failure of the defense, right? And I guess, you know what, tell you what, let's hold that because we're going to talk about a defensive article later that kind of ties into that.
Okay.
And some thinking about that. Is there anything else in the Bears game that you wanted to touch on here before we moved on?
The only thing I'll say, and this is more of a wider arcing thing on the defense, I'm doing research. The Cleveland Browns, the other team that I cover, plays the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow night. One of the things that I do is anime research. know, the Steelers have forced at least three takeaways in five straight games.
They're a surprise to me this year.
Minka Fitzpatrick has five takeaways in the last 3 weeks and has scored two touchdowns. You know how many takeaways the Lions have in the last month? One.
They've gone away.
They picked off Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
That's their only takeaway in the last four games.
Yep.
You want to lose football games? That's how you lose. You want to win four games in a row like the Steelers have? That's how you win.
I don't know what happened to the punch. Someone took our Hawaiian punch.
It's gone.
By the way, I'll go back to the
other thing that I was looking at. Justin Coleman, where's that? Has allowed 23 completions since week seven, tied for second most among NFL defensive backs. Let me see who's worse.
Talk about hot and cold.
Yeah.
He must be nursing something. He has to be dealing with something.
So in the first, oh my God. Oh, he's really not good. All right, we don't talk about that. Oh my God. That's not good. Lions defense has allowed 13 touchdown passes since week seven, most in the NFL. Oh,
let's save that.
Lions defense has allowed a passer rating of 128.7 since week seven. Highest in the NFL. Highest in NFL history, if it persists.
It won't.
Good times. It won't. No, you're right. It won't. But
all right. We'll go on. Let's save those because I do want to talk about those when we talk about this article later, because it's a good article. And we can talk about it in a bigger picture package as well as that part. So let's move on. There's something bigger picture for Paul Perkins, the premier practice squad player.
nice alliteration.
Thank you. New topic, completely different topic. And this is one we just thought it would be a good time to kind of start thinking about. Because there's a lot of talk about some certain people in this right now. Players we may not see on the Lions in 2020. And I'm going to start with the one that's the biggest name. There's a lot of conversation about. And I feel like it's the truth. Love the guy to death. Love the guy to death. Don't. And I don't want people to misinterpret what I'm saying here. Because I have, you know, I'm of two minds on this guy. I'm kind of my heart and my brain. But Darius Slay. I really, really do not think he's going to be here next year, Riz.
I agree. I don't think he's going to be back either. And I think it will be, and this is me just I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I'm just guessing that it's better for both parties if he moves on.
I do. I think so too. I want to compare this before we go too deep in this, where this team is. God, these things are starting to cross over a little bit. But this one, did you see the movie The Russian Five?
No,
it's
I want to.
Documentary, relatively new. Absolutely fabulous. It's available on Amazon Prime if you guys want to go find it. Absolutely an awesome, awesome movie. I want to give you just a little bit of, you don't have to be a hockey fan to see it. It starts out with this kind of cloak and dagger stuff because I didn't remember this back then, but Sergei Fedorov had to defect, and he was the first that we got, and they had to do an underground. The State Department was calling one of the Red Wings coaches. Do you know where his whereabouts is? It was crazy. It was like it's a story that they just talked about, but I don't remember it as well as it was depicted here in the documentary. And then they go through how they picked up all the players, how they picked up Scotty Bowman, and then the trouble they had for so many years. And I'll never forget, it was 94, I believe, that the Red Wings they won the President's Trophy. I think they won more games than anybody else in the NFL before or since, were the obvious contenders for the Stanley Cup, and were knocked out by the third year San Jose Sharks in the first round of the playoffs.
That was 94.
Yes,
because that was the year the Canucks went to the Cup and the loss of the Rangers.
I was furious. And longtime fan. I go back to when they used to give away, and I've told people you've heard on the podcast, used to give away a Wrangler, a Jeep Wrangler, every game just to get people to come to the games in Joe Louis. It was, right? Can you think about that? A brand new car, all those games. But that's what they were doing because it was so bad. You know, the Dead Wings and all that stuff.
Dead Wings, yeah.
And I remember, I'll never forget, it was the mid 80s. The Detroit Free Press had this joke. I wish I remember which writer had it. What's the difference between the Red Wings and the Tigers? Or what's this? What do they have in common? The Red Wings and Tigers. That's what it was. Neither can play hockey. It was, I'll never forget. It was like silly, but it's in the paper. It was crazy, but yeah. That's good. It was, and you think about it, you're looking at the Lions and through very much the same lens in that you're quite, you know, they picked these Russians in the draft in the third, the fourth round, right? And I think it was the fourth round the first year when they got Sergei, and no one was picking Russians because the Iron Curtain was still there. And it was a big worry about that.
Yeah, yeah,
wasted pick. You're not even going to ever see the talent. And for sure they didn't see it that year, right? It was it took time to make all these things happen. But the wings were the first one. And then they took all the criticism from the Europeans and the Canadians. This is my game. I worked my whole life. What are you bringing these Russians over here, right? It was crazy. And Jimmy Devolano saying it. I mean, I could do an impersonation, but I'm not going to. He's great throughout. He tells more stories during this than anybody else. But all the guys, Darren McCarty, all of them are in there. And then they bring in Scotty Bowman. Well, Scotty Bowman's a winner. Everybody's on board. Everyone's on the hype train. Like the beginning of this year, everybody's ready. We got the coach. We got the quarterback. We got Stevie Y. We got the Russians. Right? We're going to do this. And then disappointment. And then disappointment. And then disappointment all these years. And you had something that was really good, but they just couldn't seal the deal. They couldn't finish it off, and they were just, nobody believed in Devolano and Ken Holland, who posted salary cap. You probably shouldn't believe him, but all these things, and they were like, but they had the team and they had a system and they put a system in place. And if you know Scotty Bowman,
left wing lock, baby.
Yep. He was a guy that the press absolutely hated. Right.
Yes.
He didn't talk. They did not like his press conferences. He doesn't say anything. He's a jerk.
He was one word answer. Exactly. All the time.
And I saw that. I was flying home from San Fran when I watched the documentary, and then I watched again because it was so good. And in prep for this, I just look and see so many parallels there. Right. And you see, it's similar. You know, people are like, what the hell are you doing, Belichick, in New England? Right. And right now I can see a lot of what the hell are you doing, Quinn and Patricia? And I'm now tying this all the way back to the Slay thing and not seeing him this year. When they picked up Igor Larionov. OK, it was Larionov or Fertisov. I think it was Larionov. They gave away Ray Shepard, who was a 50 goal scorer. Multiple times.
That was Larionov.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Ray Shepard, 50 goal, and they're like, "What? This old guy, an old Russian, much less." And you're giving away 50 goals.
Back then, Russians were perceived as being soft and non-competitive. They were exactly. Like, "Oh, we're just here to make your money and take your women."
Yeah, yeah. And they were successful at both. Anyway,
Pavel Bure sure was.
Sergei did a pretty good job. Yeah, he did. But it was really interesting, and the parallels, right? But to let a guy like that go, and this is where I go back to kind of the Diggs thing and the Slay thing. They're not really a fit necessarily. It could be a personality thing. It could be a play style. Slay will not submit to the system. When I talked before about could Aaron Rodgers have done what Tom Brady did, the absolute answer is no, because his ego is too much in the way. It's absolutely, he never could have submitted to the system the way he needed to in order for that dynasty to last 20 years, right?
That's fair. Yeah.
You look, but he's a fabulous quarterback, but the ego wouldn't let him win. And there's nobody even close to the quality of the New England Patriots and their wins for 20 years. And right there, the second absolutely. Is way, way down the list compared to where they've been. You look at that and what it takes to submit to the system. They had to get rid of a lot of good players in the wings to truly implement the system and get to the point where they needed to. I'm going to tell you, I'm willing to buy into that right now with this Lions team because I'm absolutely sick of the carousel of coaches and general managers and people that have done nothing but given us the same thing for year after year after year after year. I'm willing to see this thing through and give it another year, maybe even two if it takes two. But if we have to let Darius Slay go, as much as I love this guy, and I think they will, I absolutely think they will this offseason, he's a mercenary. He's not going to submit to the system, and they're absolutely going to want somebody who is. So at this point, of all the players, it's a long story, and I apologize for that, Riz.
No, it's fine.
Of all the players we're not going to see in 2020, I think that's him, and I think that's why.
I agree with your take. He is not a guy who is going to sublimate his own ego for the good of the team. And also, the other side of it is, you're still selling high. He's going to be 28, I think.
Yep. Got another year of the contract.
But it's manageable for teams that have some desire to go get it. He will certainly agree to it, a contract extension.
Yeah.
He's made that very clear.
Yep.
It's very clear that Detroit is not going to give him that money. That right there. Okay. Let's part ways and let's continue to root for Darius Slay
on
his next team. Cause he's a great guy.
Absolutely.
I've enjoyed getting to know him a little bit behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I really have. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He gets it too. He loves Detroit. There is zero doubt in my mind. He would love to finish his career in Detroit.
Yeah.
He absolutely would. But he also knows it's business. And yep. He is aware of the business, and he understands that's part of being an NFL player, is that you are, for all intents and purposes, a number.
Yeah. Yeah. And in many ways.
He saw it with Golden Tate, who was his best friend on the team. So with Darius, or with Quandre Diggs, who was his best friend on the team.
Yeah. Have you ever recommended a friend for a job and then they really embarrassed you? Like a good friend, right? That you get yes. along and you're like, ah, yeah. That's what I feel like. And he wouldn't embarrass me, right? But that's what I feel like with Darius Slay. He's that guy that's your best friend, like that you could hang out with and do anything with and have a great time. But at the job, there's a certain kind of kind of attitude or whatever that's demanded there. And you've bought into it, you're doing it, and you think bringing your friend in, he's cool, he's gonna be, and then he can't. Right. And then you're like, yeah. Oh God, that's what I feel like with him. I love the guy to death. I love how he plays. I love his personality. I just don't think he's a fit. And I hope people get that, right. That it's not anything right. about a dislike of him at all.
No, we love the guy. We both are in agreement though, that he will not be a Detroit Lion in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think that's a very controversial take, to be honest with you. I think a lot of fans feel that way.
I think they know it in their heart. Yeah. Right, or in their mind, but in their heart, they don't want it to be true.
Right. Let me throw another name on it.
That's what I was looking for. What do you got?
I don't think Marvin Jones is going to be back next year.
Ooh, I wish Case was here to start crying. Okay, this is a big one. Okay, now we've got him on contract for another year.
Now, again, yes, we do. Okay. Again, okay. Marvin is a great guy.
Yeah.
Great. He has put a lot of deep roots into Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
He has embraced the community, and the community has embraced Marvin back. He's got, you know, he loves being in Motown for the part of his singing thing. He loves being in Detroit.
Let me ask you something here on this. Go ahead. Okay. Finish up, and I'm going to ask you a question about this.
He is getting to the age where he probably shouldn't be the number two receiver anymore. And right now he is, honestly, he's 1A in Detroit.
Yeah. Wow.
He's got 1 year left on his contract. They're not going to extend him. The Patriot way is you do not pay old receivers unless they're Julian Edelman.
Like Randy Moss, right?
Well, and Randy was a little bit different because he came there late.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Marvin's been here a long time. Marvin is really good at what he does, but he also has a skill set that is replaceable by other people. And so, they're going to find a younger, cheaper guy who can do 90 to 95% of what Marvin does and probably find him in the second or third round, because that's keep in mind, that's where Marvin was a fifth round pick out of Cal.
Yeah. No, dude, this is crazy to me. Okay. Cause I know, look, I'll tell you, I like Kenny Galladay, but I think he's a number two receiver too. I think our 1A and 1B are number two receivers, right?
Yes. 100%.
But Marvin Jones, particularly after Galladay's performance this week, Marvin Jones has been a bit of a security blanket for Matthew Stafford. There's both a personal connection. There's a professional connection. And Marvin has been amazing with contested catches. Now, we've said before, it's because you got to be if you're going to be in the NFL.
You got to make contested catches.
Right. What's the effect on Stafford here for somebody he's close to? I mean, this guy's got a year left on his contract. Are you saying they're going to trade him, or is just straight cut him?
I think they will look to move him, but I think they will move on. I really do. Ooh, okay. I also think that he is another guy who, why was Quandre Diggs traded? Because he didn't necessarily fit exactly what they wanted. And because he wasn't afraid to go to Matt Patricia or to the media and talk about what was going on with the team.
Right.
Marvin doesn't talk to the media that way. He does talk to other players, and he will talk to coaches behind the scenes like that. And I think that the reason that Quandre was sent away, and you and I have talked about this, and people in the Slack chat know where this is coming from, and I don't want to make that public because it's only from one source, and that source has an agenda, and I don't want to burn him, and B, I don't want to state it as fact, because it's not, because I can't verify it, but I believe it.
It's extremely plausible, right?
I very strongly believe it, but I don't know that it's true. I think that is where Marvin is at as well. And I think that they will decide that, you know what, he's not going to be here in 2021. If we can get something for him in 2020, let's get somebody else who's going to be here in 2021, 2022, and beyond and move into it. If it's CeeDee Lamb, I'll be very happy about that. This is a ridiculously deep wide receiving class.
Right.
Now, the flip side of that, Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones are the only two wide receivers on the team that are under contract for next year.
Right.
They're both up after 2020.
I love
for
what
sure, Am- for sure one of them ain't going to be here in 2021.
Yeah,
for sure.
For sure, yeah. I love what Amendola's doing, but you just can't. I can't count on him for another year. As much as he is a
one-year mercenary. He made that clear when he signed. The Lions made it clear when they signed him. This is a one-year thing.
Yeah, I can't count on him, even if we could sign him another year, right? I just can't count on him holding up. As much as I love the guy, and
he's been really good too.
Guaranteed to sign this year's Amendola, I'd be like, where do we sign, right? But there's just too much against it. Okay.
He's been very good. I've been very impressed. I underestimated his impact on the team.
Yep. So there's a third name that we probably won't see in 2020. There you go.
Can I go over the lines?
Okay.
Can I guess one?
Yeah. Okay.
Is it Rick Wagner?
Oh, well, I was going to say Amendola, but Rick Wagner's a really good guess. All right.
Because I got more. I got more guesses.
Okay, keep going. Just bring them out. Unload the bag. Wait, let me do this really quick before you go into that, because you're right. Here's the problem, right? We're a team with a lot of needs right now.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, my God, yeah.
And so the more gaps you make by dumping guys, the more needs you have to fill. And we're going to get into this here after this in the next one, but that creates a unique problem. Okay, keep going.
Is it Jared Davis?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Damon Harrison, even after he signed his recent contract, because he's not been good this year?
No.
Is it A'shaun Robinson, whose contract is up?
I think they keep A'shaun. I think they keep him.
I think they'll keep him.
It depends how much he wants. If he comes in at a fair number, I think they'll keep him, because he hasn't been like a world buster, right? But boy, he's deflected a lot of passes. He's done his job.
He played really well in the first month of the season.
Yeah, he's really done his job. So I think if we can get a fair deal, we'll keep him. I'm not certain that he's going to be gone yet. There's been a lot of talk, and I could be wrong, but I just feel like he's still kind of one of the anchor pieces that we could have here.
All right. Okay.
You got one more? Two more? Five more?
Jesse James.
Oh, yeah. That's a sad story.
Awful.
Yeah, he is not materialized at all.
He's terrible. Chris, he's awful. He is not as good as Levine Toilolo was last year. He might not be as good as Luke Wilson was last year.
Toilolo, by the way, who's playing for the formerly undefeated San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. Well, Quandre Diggs beat them Monday night with an interception and a pass breakup. Yeah. Interesting that a Super Bowl contender team trusts Quandre Diggs. Yeah, I'm going to need some of that shit. Trust him to be on the field in critical situations in a de facto playoff game that they absolutely had to win against an undefeated division rival. Who's out there? Quandre Diggs. Who's making plays? Quandre Diggs.
He did get an interception.
Lions couldn't use him. Had no use for him.
Nope.
Fifth round pick.
He made an interception. Now I'm going to be, I love Quandre, right? But I just want, because people, we react, right? That's the nature of humans. It's the nature of sports fandom. Something happens and we give no context. We just boom. It's like a digital thing. It's either on or it's off, right? There's not any context. And I do want to say, on his interception, he was off his man by 7 yards. If the pass was accurate, he would have been burned like crazy.
He made the play, though. He made a play earlier in the game. He is the Seahawks trusted him after 1 week of practice.
And he fits well. He fits really well with what they do.
Out there in critical situations in a de facto playoff game, and the Lions can't use him against shit.
No.
What does that tell you about your coaching staff right now?
It doesn't tell me a lot, and we'll get into that next. But Riz, I want to talk to something.
I think it still makes me very – if you can't tell, I completely lost faith in Patricia and Quinn when they made that move because it was a complete dumbass move.
I remember.
Complete dumbass.
Yeah, because they didn't get enough for him, right? But nobody was offering.
They gave him away out of trite and spite. And when you make decisions like that, you wind up with a lot of ex-wives with a lot of alimony.
Yeah, but they also shopped him earlier. It wasn't just then. It was, what, 2 or 3 weeks earlier they tried to shop him and nobody was really given next to anything for him. So
that's true.
It wasn't just a reaction immediately, but I want to talk about something really quick, Riz.
Okay, please do.
Have you ever felt like, you know, I know you go to a lot of shows, right? I spend a lot of time going to shows too. You ever feel like when you're getting tickets, you're like running in circles, like you're like the site's a little shady. You're like, what's the fee? What's going on here? Yeah. They don't want to let you know what's going on. It's like, or you go to the site, they're like, oh, here's a new ticket. So maybe I can find something. And they got nothing, right? There's never the tickets you want. Right. Have you ever experienced that, Riz?
Yes. Obstructed view. What's that? General admission, but there's no GA pit. What's going on?
Right. So
yes. I know that pain well.
I'm here to talk about who's doing it better. SeatGeek. We've talked about them before, right? I've tried them all. I've used all the other services and stuff, and we've talked about these guys for years. You guys know one of the things we do here is we're not talking about or supporting any services that we don't use ourselves. And I'll show you right here something on my app for you YouTube people right there in the bottom. You can see it, right? It's on my front page.
I do see it.
Got the old SeatGeek app. I use it all the time to get my seats. You guys... You got to use it. The app is quick. It's easy. It lets you pick your seat. Where do you want to sit? At what price? You can do it every single time. The app itself, 50,000 five-star reviews. So they got to be doing something right. Look, how do they do it? They got a thing where they pull together millions of tickets from all over the internet, right? They rank them. They look at each deal. They scale them from 1 to 10. And they put it on you in a seat map. So you can tell exactly where the seat's going to be. Right. And then it gives you a little dot, a green dot, a yellow dot, a red dot on how good the deal is those tickets.
And it's like, your value.
Yeah. Right. So you get to go and look and find the best seat for the best deal. And you're like, OK, cool. I'm going to sit there. I mean, I got second row seats last year on Thanksgiving I stole them for the Lions game. It was awesome. Right behind the bench sitting there. I got pictures and the whole thing watching Prater and Martin sitting on their folding chairs at the end of the bench, not quite part of the gang. it was awesome. And even, I mean, I'll tell you this, the game or the concert we talked about this weekend, I Prevail. I'm going to do it again. I use SeatGeek. I use the app. Got my tickets to the show there in Ipsy this weekend. It's a great, great deal. So we're talking about SeatGeek. What's the big deal for you guys? Here's a sweet deal. They're working with us to give you guys an even better deal. SeatGeek will give you $10 off your first purchase. And all you got to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code Lions. I mean, how hard is this, right? It's the Detroit Lions podcast. Use Lions promo code. You get $10 off on your first purchase right off the top. Great deal. You're already picking your best deal. You're already picking your seat. And you use promo code Lions and you get $10 off the seats themselves. It's a heck of a deal. Again, guys, SeatGeek, they're here because they want you to hear from us about them. And I'm telling you, I've talked about them for years. I use them. They're a great, great deal. Go over there, concerts, sporting events. You want to go to the ballet and watch Riz do his best performances, go to SeatGeek, get the app, and use code Lions, get yourself $10 off. It's a hell of a deal. We're doing what we can to help you guys out while we do these things. And these guys came to us to talk to you. So support us. We appreciate it.
And if you want to join me at the Chon and Between the Buried and Me concert the following Saturday, get your tickets there at the Fillmore.
And of course, Riz. Riz used the app. He knows.
Oh, yeah. I actually used the app. True story. We went to Little Caesars Arena, my son and I. Mm-hmm. My son's dream is to play basketball for TCU, which is odd. Wow. Because he's not even a Christian, but he wants to play at Texas Christian University.
Very specific. Okay. Yeah.
It's all right. So we went there and watched them when they played in the quad pod. Michigan State was there as well. We got in the front row of the top bowl. Like, I forget what section it was, but it was like total green, like all the way across the front row. So the seats were actually a lot cheaper than buying them from the NCAA.
Right.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah.
We got there for, we got 2 days worth of tickets there for, I think it was $44 a piece, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Great deal. Love it. And that's the thing, that, that whole, like the whole pricing color thing is so awesome, because
especially like when I go to the combine in Indianapolis, I go to a Pacers game every year.
Yeah.
I don't know the Indianapolis market all that well. I haven't lived there since 1986 when I got a Steve Stepanovich growth chart. You know who Steve Stepanovich is? Congratulations to you. Back when Clark Kellogg was still playing basketball. I don't know what's going on in Indianapolis. I don't know what's a good value in what is it, Bankers Life Arena now. Right. So I use the app, like that's why I know where I'm going.
Yeah, no, it's sweet.
I don't know if I'm being ripped off
or not. And that's the best part is like everyone's got a budget, right? When you're working on that budget, you can find the best deal and you get your best possible spot. It's really a sweet deal. So, all right, we'll get back to this. This is one of the things you're kind of alluding to, and it's something we want to talk about. And Riz, you can tear this up. I don't care.
I'm almost done with my Underground Mountain Brown.
Oh, nice. Was that an Ohio mug?
That is an Ohio
Bobcats. Oh my goodness gracious!
So note, this is Ohio, not Ohio State. When Michigan plays Ohio State, they're not playing Ohio. Fucking dolt! Think of that crap. Oh, How many fucking morons have to come up to me and mutter "fuck the Buckeyes" when I'm wearing this on a hat?
I don't like the Buckeyes.
Does that look
either.
Like a Buckeye to you?
It doesn't look very red.
No, it looks
red.
Like a cat.
Doesn't
is
look
it scarlet
red.
And gray? No, it's green and white. Do you confuse Michigan and Michigan State? No, you don't. Don't confuse Ohio and Ohio State. You look like a fucking dumbass. I'm going to tell you about that.
Okay. I'm glad this doesn't bother you.
It bothers me.
I'm glad that you're good with this. You've really grown. All right. We want to talk about what the plan is in Detroit. What the heck is Quinn? What the heck is Patricia? What in the world is going on around here?
I'm losing a little faith, Chris.
I know. A lot of people are. Do you remember just a few weeks ago ahead of the Green Bay game, the Bob the Builder graphic that everyone
was? Do you remember the movement on the subreddit to make Matt Patricia the coach of the year? It was huge.
People from everywhere.
It was 4 weeks ago. Four.
And now they're standing out there with gas cans and Molotov cocktails, right? It's like, guys.
Get a freaking grip, people.
Let's do this. Okay, so.
Find some balance. There's a yin. There's a yang.
Right. It's not digital. It's not on and off. There can be gray areas, okay? So let's talk about it. I feel like we need to bring some people in, reel them in, especially after this game. What is the plan in Detroit? And I want to start by looking forward. One of the things that Detroit has is the most cap space, as things stand today, for the next 2 years. More than anybody. Mm-hmm. More than anybody in the NFC North. There may be other teams in the NFL. But anybody in our division, nobody's even close. And the Vikings are in a
they're in a lot of trouble.
Yep. They're going to lose players crazy like.
And if they want to pay Kirk Cousins again, mm-hmm. which I assume they do because he's been fantastic over the last 6 weeks.
Yep.
They're going to pay him like double Stafford money. He's going to get $38-40 million a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. So both those teams, I mean, the Minnesota is going to have to disassemble everything they've got. This is their year. If they don't do it this year, it's going to be ugly for them for a bit. So the Detroit Lions have gone from absolute cap hell with Calvin Johnson. Remember his contract when Bob Quinn was fired. When Bob Quinn took over, our cap was the building was on fire. It was terrible, and now we're in this position where we have more than anybody. That's good. Number two. Barring the injuries that have plagued this team this year, and we laughed at the Bears last year and their injury situation because it was just outside the norm. The Lions are in the same position this year with injuries. It's just beyond the norm. It's an extreme case. And I mean, no team can plan to come back and field a superstar team with the number of injuries the Lions have had this year. But even with that being the case, I've talked about this a little bit. The team has been competitive. They've been within a score in every game this season except one. Mm-hmm. A couple ball bounces the other way, one thing changed here, one thing changed there, and people are still talking about Coach of the Year and Super Bowl with this team, right? I mean, seriously, it doesn't take a whole lot to bounce a couple of these games the other way, and we're at the top of the division. It's very, very easy to happen. So we've been
one Quandre Diggs interception. We'll do it.
Oh, God, thanks.
I'm not letting that go.
Yeah, I know you're not. I know you're not. It's okay. Here, let me just get this right here quick for you. Get the Rizzo's right horn. Okay. Does that feel better?
But I don't want to be right.
Oh my God. This is like, I'm not going to say it because listens to the show, but I can't win. Okay. We look at this team that Quinn inherited with the absolute disaster at the cap. And the other part was we had a couple of star players that were the team and then garbage everywhere else, right? And very no shallow depth, no depth at all. So what's Quinn done with his team, right? We haven't really put a whole bunch of stars in place. We haven't, obviously, by the amount of cap money we have left, we haven't put in these studs or the stars or these super over-the-top kind of players. We've been working on a couple of years on getting players that are good, really good, right? Good players, good, solid players across the board, and building a balanced team of players that, as we just said, has been competitive. It's a very, very competitive team now. The next step, I think, is once you get that competitive team, once you've built out some depth, once you've got some balance across the team and the players, then you can bring in some of those stars. Then you can bring in those real difference maker kind of players. We've done this so many years where you bring in, we got Calvin, we got Barry, we got Steph. We bring these one or two players in and it's electrifying to watch, right? But the wins aren't there either. They're just not there. Now, I talk about it as the next piece of the plan is as we start solidifying the pieces, and there's still some pieces that we need to really kind of get this team where it is. They bring those studs in. The question is, can they? Can they bring them in? And will they be available in free agency? How will that work? And who will they be? And that's my question I want to pose to you, Riz. If we're a team that we feel we're competitive, we've got a lot of good players across the board at the positions.
We absolutely do.
And just a couple of three or four free agents that are superstars could put us over the top, right? Who do we get? Who are the guys?
As I said the other day, and I put it in my real GM 10 cents column, the Lions are way too good to be bad. Yeah. And that's a bit of a curse. Now so to go to the Patriots, they brought in guys like Corey Dillon. They brought in guys like Randy Moss that made that kind of a difference. Who is that for us? Well, we got to get another wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. We need a number one wide receiver.
We need that. And is that going to come in free agency? Is that going to come in the draft? I don't know. I'm not crazy about using a first round pick on a wide receiver. No. That's just me. I don't think there's return. I don't think you get bang on your buck for that.
Unless it's Calvin Johnson.
But did he ever win a playoff game?
No, he wasn't here back then. I had to think about it.
He did not.
He's not that old.
No, he's not. But guys like Julio Jones was a critical piece to lead the Falcons to a Super Bowl where they blew a 28-3 lead. That never gets old either.
It does in Atlanta.
yeah, it really does. You know, but AJ Green, phenomenal talent of a wide receiver, who will be available, by the way. And he's 31 years old, but he's coming off a year where he didn't really play because he's hurt. I don't think he's going to play in Cincinnati. I don't think he wants to play in Cincinnati anymore. I don't think
anyone does.
They're a train wreck. That team, that team has a legitimate chance to go 0-16. Wow. He's going to jump off that ship.
Everyone's trying to be as cool as Detroit. Right.
I know.
That's just a race to
be. You know how hard it is to go 0-16? You either have to have a god awful roster.
It wasn't for Detroit. That's the thing.
Like the Lions did. Or you have to have the worst coach on the face of the earth, like the Browns did.
Like the Lions did too. Come on. Marinelli was not the guy.
Honestly, I would take Rod Marinelli over Hugh Jackson every day of the week as my head coach. And I would certainly take him as a coordinator because look what he's doing in Dallas.
Today I would. He's had a lot more experience and a lot of growth has happened. But
he is a phenomenal teacher. This is a disconnect. And somebody actually, I forget who it was that talked to me about it. This on Twitter today. When Brian Sanders came in in the Mayhew regime and they talked about integrating what the coaches want and what the scouts see, that wasn't something that Millen ever comprehended was something that needed to happen.
I got to get him.
So Marinelli got all these guys who he's a phenomenal teacher. There is not a better defensive teacher, period, in the NFL today still.
Yeah.
But he's not a guy who's a tactician. He's not a he's not really a motivator other than, you know, slapping a guy in the ass and telling him good job.
Well, that'll motivate me.
Me too. But finding the guys who fit with your coaching style, and I think that is something that we're that's probably why Darius Slay won't be back
right. next year.
Fit the system. Right. You're finding guys who will respond to what Patricia and his chosen coaches, and Daryl Bevel sure looks like a chosen good coach who, by the way, was out. He is not a – he has no Patriot background. This is a guy that Matt Patricia respected from afar.
Yep.
Is like, I think you can help me. I wish he'd do that with the defense. I wish he would fire Paul Pasqualoni today. And send the message that what is happening isn't going to – but he's not going to do that because Pasqualoni is his mentor.
I think Pasqualoni's gone this year. I think this year he's gone.
He's at the age where I think he can go away and it won't be dramatic.
Yeah. I think the problem is, though, right, because we know Patricia's defense is a good defense. But and maybe it's a problem, maybe it's not. But where do you go with it now? Do you take a guy with a new defense – and a different style than Patricia, where he trusts him and believes him.
Do you think that
Patricia's going to take the guy that's a Patricia guy? Because it's two different sets of problems, right?
Right.
We know the Patricia defense is good. We've seen it work. We've seen it bring championships to New England. The problem, and I'm gonna allude to it with the Marinelli thing and the history of the Lions with kind of firing people as quick as we have in the coaching ranks in recent history, is. You talk about bringing in those guys that the scouts see versus the coaches want. They're implementing, every one of these coaches is implementing a system, and you fire them too fast. You got half the guys that believe in the system and the other half guys that haven't gone yet and you haven't gotten what you needed. And then you bring somebody else in with a different system and you go back into it and you get this hodgepodge of players that really don't fit any system and can't perform. I feel like
Cleveland.
Exactly. And that's why I feel like right now is the time to just go all in and implement a system that we've seen work, that has a history of proven performance somewhere else.
You are in on Patricia and Quinn be getting another year.
I want to say, I think one and possibly two.
I am too, by the way, for the record. I am as well.
Yeah, yes. I think one and possibly two. I want to see the system. I could be wrong. I could absolutely be wrong, but I'm so tired of half-assing this stuff and being disappointed over and over by not completing the job.
I would rather them prove me wrong than wondering if I was wrong.
Thank you. That's a great one. You must be a writer.
Something like that. One of my hats that I wear.
All right. Did you have anything else you wanted to fold out in the Detroit plan? I mean, am I crazy here with this? Is this insane, or does it seem like it feels like what we're doing? We've seen mistakes along the way. I get it, but.
You're going to have that. I mean, and the Patriots have had mistakes along the way. They had guys that didn't work. They did.
Yeah.
They look at the first round picks that they've had of late. They're terrible.
Yeah. No, you're right.
They still win though.
Yep.
But because they get so many guys who do hit, so many guys who believe, and they do get the ring whores, the veterans who are like, okay, you know what? I want to go where I can. I want to win one last shot before I go.
Yeah.
Just want one.
Yeah. You know? And the other thing
that they do, they get rid of guys who don't fit and they don't make it dramatic. They did that with
Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon is a great example.
And he just performed well for Seattle, right?
He looked good. He did look good for Seattle. Yeah. He's a guy that is very difficult to trust.
Yeah.
I'll go off on a little tangent here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who think that Josh Gordon was vilified because he smoked marijuana. This is a guy who admitted he dealt cocaine as a seventh grader. He admitted he was drinking the purple drink throughout high school, did not play a game sober, not on pot, but on amphetamines, on all kinds of drugs, not marijuana, his entire career.
Is that not normal?
That is not normal.
Okay. Sorry. I'm just trying to level set.
There's too many people who are like, oh, he's just a pothead. No, he has admitted he has done a shitload more.
He's a train wreck, right?
Yes. And the fact that he's skeptical.
To keep it together.
I am personally rooting very hard for Josh Gordon, but I'm very glad that he's not on a team that I care about.
Yeah. It's funny. Nick Fairley was a guy.
I want to see it work. I really, truly want to see it work for him, but I'm glad that I don't have a vested interest in it.
Nick Fairley was a guy that I really, really wanted him to do well. I wanted, there's a lot, there was other issues besides just, you know, football. I thought he had gotten to a spot where it was good, and then he wound up getting leaving.
He had the heart problem.
Yeah. I just wanted the best for him. He seemed like a really good guy down under it all with a couple things he was fighting.
He seemed like a giant kid who was finally starting to grow up a little bit, and then
battling those demons out, right? Yeah. And then the other guy who I really liked was Tyron Walker. Had a second resurgence in Detroit. I was really, really rooting for him. And I will never, ever forgive Seattle and Pete frickin' Carroll. I hate him. I won't go as far as to say he should die in a grease fire, but he should have some kind of horrible accident where he has to suffer an inability to perform his job anymore, because it was his team that did that, and that was,
and it was deliberate, and it was obviously deliberate. You could hear the bone snap on the gameplay.
And Tyron, I mean, he handled that. It was such a professional. Right, he could have gone off. He was another guy. I really, really liked him and rooted for him. And when he went over to the Saints, I wanted him to do well. But sorry, okay, yeah, right. A couple guys. All right, so we'll move on from there. We talked a little bit about Matthew Stafford, about him going to be back. That was kind of scheduled next. I don't know if we have anything else about,
you know what,
Monsieur, that we want to.
I don't think they will sit him. Is the way I'll approach that. Mm-hmm. I think if he is healthy to play, they will play him. I do not think they will sit him because they think the season is lost. And I'll tell you why, because there is a Bill Parcells quote, and you better believe that Matt Patricia believes it. You do not build a winning culture by losing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's as simple as that. Yeah. They will not sit him unless it's medically necessary.
You know, that's interesting. The idea of putting him on the field when he's ready to play, even though it kind of goes back to that game. It was the Cleveland game where he dislocated his shoulder, right? And I always get Cleveland and Cincinnati messed up for some reason.
He shrugged.
Yeah.
He can't move it. We're still kicking your ass.
Yeah. The inspiration that comes from a leader like that, and that idea that you don't create a winning culture by losing, exactly right. The Parcells quote. That's great, great pull there, Riz. That's exactly why he should play. If he gets hurt, 100 million people will go south and complain about it. I did. There's one thing you had mentioned about the Patriots culture and kicking people out. The one thing though that I will say, even with all their wins, there's still people that bitch about the Patriots coaching staff and Parcells and how they do things. They've got 167 different rings. They're always in contention, and there's still the same fans that are complaining, little whiners. So it'll never go away, no matter how good you are.
What was the last Boston team that didn't win a title?
You know, Detroit's the only team to have the three major sports have a championship at the same time. It was in like 1935. Yep. So, and we got something.
And now the Lions are the second best team in town.
Yeah. Proud to be a Detroiter, baby. Proud
you
to
know, be I love my town. So, full disclosure, I'm a huge Cleveland Cavaliers fan. That is my number one sports passion, and has been since I was a little kid. I do like watching the Pistons, and I've watched almost every game, and I have really enjoyed watching Derrick Rose play. And there's some brightness there, and I love the improvement that Luke Kennard has shown this year.
Yeah.
And the Pistons they're interesting. Unfortunately, they're not very good.
Yeah. I ended the Bad Boys, and then the into the 90s, I was good into hoops. It's changed enough that I'm not as inspired by hoops anymore.
I watch NBA every night. That's what my family watches. We are a basketball family. My kids both play basketball
at
pretty darn high level, and we're going to keep that up. And nice. That's what we do together. We watch basketball.
I'm a hockey guy.
I'm into it.
I wish I had more time to watch the games. I
used to be a huge hockey. Like the 1990s and early 2000s. Yeah. I was all about hockey. That was my number two sport easily.
Yeah.
Actually, I will say this. I followed hockey a lot more than I followed the NFL in the 90s. Some of that is the fact that I lived in Cleveland so I went to college from 90 to 96, and I wasn't really ever home. And I went to college in southeastern Ohio. It's almost in West Virginia. There's not really a team around closer to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati than it is to Cleveland. When I got out, it was 96. The Browns were gone when I moved back to Cleveland.
Oh.
So then when they came back Labor Day weekend of 1999, that is when my family moved to Richmond, Virginia. My wife and I packed up and we moved to Virginia. We moved to Redskins country. Ooh. And the Redskins were that was like when they were buying Albert Haynesworth and Deion Sanders and Bruce Smith.
Better than the now.
God, the washed up name. And it's just like, why? What's the point? I couldn't ever watch the Lions because I didn't have cable to eat. It wasn't available.
Right. And that's one failure the NFL's continued with, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I don't know a lot of that late 90s and very early 2000s. That's a black hole for the NFL for me. And a lot of that it was filled by hockey.
Yeah, yeah. No, hockey's a great thing. Love me some hockey. I just love the grit. I love the fact that the guys go out, play their ass off. It's all for the team. And you walk in, you get a couple stitches in your forehead and you're back out and playing. There's a little bit of toughness. There's a lot of toughness there, right? There's no hangnail 3 weeks out like in baseball. There's, the flopping thing. They've been pretty good about that. There's a lot of subjectivity that goes on in basketball that confuses and frustrates me. You know, I'm a data. You know, I'm a computer, right? Mentally. And
James Harden taking his four-step step drop back.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like hockey gives that to me.
My son's looking at me. He's a huge Rockets fan. He's like, shut up, Dad.
Good stuff. All right. So the one thing I will allude to with the Red Wings, and kind of back to what we were talking about before, I will never, ever forget when they finally won that Stanley Cup. After all those losses, it was my first year. We were just married that fall, went through the whole season, just massive, massive fans. And there's a sense, and this is, I'm waiting for this from the Lions.
98? Right? Or was it earlier than that?
Maybe it was earlier than that.
Okay. Was it 96?
Something like that. Yeah.
The Avalanche won in 96. Must have been 97.
97, yeah.
97.
And we've been watching all season. That season, and it was a sweep, right? But watching that happen, that last game, it was a little back and forth early. They got it. I cannot wait. It was so exciting and so elating to finally, after 43, 44 years, whatever it was, some elongated amount of time, and being a fan, like I said, when they're giving away Wranglers every game, to get to that point, you see people talk about, how would you be if the Lions won? A lot of guys, I would just probably break down in tears, right? If finally have a release, right? Whatever. And I feel like that too, right? But yeah. the Red Wings Cup win, that one that happened, was like, I grabbed a cigar and I hadn't planned it. I just had one, because I've always liked them a little bit. And we were in an apartment and I opened up the door wall. We could see the TV there and lit the cigar. And I just sat out there and I could hear people honking right all over the place and just the all around the neighborhood and just this massive cheer and watching on TV and watch the cup presentation, the players and the whole thing. And it was just like this weight had been lifted, and I didn't break down. I just was like, wow, there's a relaxation. Just it was incredible. It was incredible.
Yeah, I know that blues. I got that when the Cleveland, when Kyrie hit the jumper.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fell to the floor and I was crying. I was bawling. my wife was like, what the hell's wrong with you? I'm like, they're going to win a title. That's one of the greatest moments of my life. I pray that will happen for the Lions because I really don't know what I'll do.
And that's what Lions fans have.
I don't know how to react to that because it will be so much more special because of that.
Yeah.
Because of all the suffering. Because I was a little kid who had a Billy Sims jersey.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be Chris Spielman.
Same.
That will be 40 at least years. They're not winning this year. They're probably not going to win next year.
And the effect in the city, right? I remember the Wings when they did it was stolen away with a limo accident. But there's an effect that this will have. And at that moment, you're going to look back and you're going to say, it was worth it. I feel vindicated. I feel right. Now, 2 days later, the people are going to pop up and say, got to fire, quit. They're the dummies will pop up, right? That are never be there.
They will be out there. They're like, how come you didn't win it sooner? Yeah, Stafford's a ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Now let's get rid of him while he's still up.
Yeah,
those people can die.
Enjoy it. It's coming. It is. It's not this year. It may not be next year, but when it comes, this is why you're a fan. This is why you're into football, because when that happens, that sense of...
That's why you stay.
Wow. That's great. All right. With that, let's take a quick look ahead to, well, before we look to the Cowboys, I got to tell you guys, go to fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Get your gear, show up, get your, you know, whether it's Red Wings gear, if it's Cavaliers gear, if it's Pistons gear, wherever, head on over to fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. It'll take you right to their site, and you won't even know you rolled through the Detroit Lions podcast. It'll set yourself a cookie, and they'll give us a kickback based on what you purchase. It's a great way to support the show. Also, Amazon.com does the same thing. And we get a little extra cash when you go to Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com to do your orders on Amazon. So it doesn't cost any more. Takes a little bit out of Basil's pocket. Don't let him buy the Lions. Don't give him the money for it. Don't let him do it.
So can I talk about that for a second? Because that's a big rumor right now that Bezos is going to buy the Lions. The NFL is using Jeff Bezos to get a team in London. He doesn't mind being the bad guy, the guy who wears the black hat and takes a team there. It's not going to be the Lions.
That's not helping my advertising pitch here, Riz. What we want to do is get people to go to Amazon to Detroit Lions podcast so he doesn't get all that money and doesn't buy the Lions. We're protecting the team here, right?
See how that works. So we'll go a little macroeconomics here. The Lions are one of the least valuable NFL franchises. They are the second least profitable NFL franchise. A smart guy like Jeff Bezos is going to buy a more profitable team. Miami Dolphins is an example. Who have stadium issues, who have ownership issues, who have fan loyalty issues. When they're in the playoffs, they only fill 80% of their stadium.
Yes, but there is the concept of buy low, sell high, right?
There is. Yeah. That's not a very American concept these days.
No. All right, so there you go. All right, I want to get into this. This is something you may be familiar with. This site, it's something Lions Weir. I don't know. Anyway, it has a headline. We now have one defensive lineman that has not or is not dealing with an injury this year. It was posted in the Reddit by Burning Watermelon, and this guy again. I'm gonna try to read his name here. Erike Schleit. Is that it? Is it Erike Schleit? I'm not sure. How do you say his name? Can you read that?
That would be Eric Schlitt.
Oh, I never would have got that. I never would have got that.
My cohort and partner in crime at Lions Wire. Yes.
Guy does Lions Breakdown podcast as well. Does a good job on that.
He does do a good job with that.
He's like it's like the yin to our yang, right? It's like a good sister.
Yeah. They do a very different thing with that, and I appreciate that.
It's excellent. It's excellent work.
At some point, I will get into Eric's basement and record.
Ooh, be careful. You don't necessarily know what's down there, and you may not make it out.
I'm not going there until his pool's back open again and it's cold out right now.
I'm just saying none of his guests have been heard from again after he's had him on the show. So you just look at it like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Kevin Strong went on the IR this week. Deshaun Hand.
First stringer, Kevin Strong, right?
I know, right? Great story, by the way. That guy... That's the guy you can wrap your hands around. Great story. And Eric likes him a lot. Yeah. Has built a relationship with him, which is pretty cool. Deshaun Hand doesn't look like he's going to play. Snacks has been injured all year. Still not 100%, I don't believe. It's one injury after another, after another, after another.
Yeah.
All the guys have been hurt at one point or another. A lot of them at the same time. It's hard to build a competitive team when the alleged strength of your team is your defensive line and you're building around a strong defensive front and all those guys are hurt and Jared Davis is terrible. What are you going to do?
And hurt. And I'm going to challenge that. I'm going to challenge that. And here's how I'm going to do that. I never heard Bob Quinn or Matt Patricia tell us the defense is what was leading this team this year. Right?
No, they didn't.
No, I know. And a lot of people who purport to be writers as good as you, but we know none of them are, have said the similar things this year, right? That's been kind of the company line, if you will, that's been paraded out there. But one thing you want to look back on, I remember way, 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 way back when Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison and Stokely, Reggie Wayne, and what do they call them? The touchdown ballerinas, because it was all passing. It was all about offense. And do you remember how bad that defense was? It was just
they had Freedy and Mathis and nothing.
Yeah, right? Their team was built to outscore the competition. That's what they were for, right? And what did we do? We focused a lot on, hey, we're putting some pieces in on the defensive side of the ball. But I think in retrospect, especially how this offense has been running, we've been built to win on the offensive side of the ball. And we're going to let our system kind of do what it does. And we know we're going to get scored on, but we're going to outscore the competition. And I think defensive injury and offensive injury, really. I mean, if you look at the line, half the offense isn't on the field. Half the first stringers aren't on the field on offense, right? We haven't been able to outscore. You go back again, and I'll keep making this comparison. You go back and look, they have been within a score in every game but one. The offense has almost gotten in there. I know people say, oh, you can't throw it on Matthew Stafford's back. No, I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, though, I think the team this year, the expectation was that the offense was what was going to carry this team, and the defense was going to clamp down as the year went on, and the injuries have not allowed that to happen. So it's a little different than the normal narrative, but I really feel like this, you know, oh, this defense sucks. Injury, and it wasn't going to be the high point of this team. I think that's where the team is really at.
So I'll counter, and I will use my Sunday morning co-host and friend Jim Costa,
who talks about Big Jim. I want to call him Big Jim. I don't know why.
He is not Big Jim.
It's Big Drew and Jim.
It is Big Drew.
Okay, I'm just gonna call him And Jim. What's up, And Jim?
So one of the things that he says a lot, and I tend to agree with him, is that you have a defensive minded head coach who's this alleged mastermind who always portrays himself as smarter than the room, and his defense is god awful. And they're passive, and they don't make anything happen positive in a game. They have one takeaway in the last 4 weeks. I don't know how you can justify, because what you said is not wrong, but what he's saying is not wrong either.
Right. They can both be right. Yeah.
Right. And that is very difficult for most fans, and even for me, to reconcile. Do you do with that? How do you process that? Is one going to get better than the other at some point? Is one side of that scale going to win at some point? And I don't know.
Not this year.
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Oh, it's not going to happen this year.
But here's what happens. You want, and this is something the Patriots have done, but the Colts were a great example. When they finally won the Super Bowl, they were a defensive team. That first win was with a defensive team.
They had great year out of Mike Brown. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was interesting, right? But they went back and forth. And the Patriots do that. They go back and forth and they concentrate on what they think is going to win. Because again, if you think about how the defense was structured, and then I call it, you know, contain and cover and contain the defense, right? You got your Patrick Mahomes, you got your Aaron Rodgers, you got Mitchell Trubisky, you got all these highly mobile quarterbacks who are playing this year. The defense is going to be kind of attuned to that kind of play because that's where the similarity is, and that's where you probably find the most effective piece. You're not going to do a great against every team in that way, as we've seen, because we haven't had pass rush in many games. But that will at least keep you in the games you need to be kept into and give you an advantage in games you need an advantage in, and then you rely on the offense. I think it's a plan when you plan the season and look at who you're playing and what styles of offense and defense you're playing, and you say, okay, now let's build around that, right? Because you can't switch your whole team up week to week to play. You've got to start playing some bigger averages when you construct
but
a team.
That's sort of what Patricia does as a defensive mastermind, is that he's going to tailor each game plan to each individual opponent.
Well, I think you do, but you can't tailor the players, right?
No, well,
so
I think they're trying to do that though. Yeah, that's one of the mistakes they're making.
Yeah, okay. I won't say that you're incorrect there. God, I'd love to call you wrong. Dang it. All right, here you go. You get one more. Just because you do. But so I think that's the way the team is. I think it will change from year to year. The defensive problem is the defensive problem. But here's where, and Jim, I think the answer is where the problem is Jared Davis. As much as I've wanted to stand behind the guy this year and looked at maybe the role he was playing as an excuse for why certain things have happened, it really has been standing out. If you take it back, you take a step back and you look at it in its totality, he has just not been very good this year. And I feel like he is this linchpin as to why the rest of the defense isn't working at its optimum level.
As I put in the 10 cent this week, and I don't normally write about the Lions, but they were newsworthy this week because of
RealGM.com.
Because of Matthew Stafford's injury and some other things. He is a read and react guy who can't read. It's his simple.
It has multiple meanings. Sorry.
It really is as as simple as that. He cannot read what's coming at him. He cannot anticipate the play.
He is thinking. He's a serial guesser. Ooh, okay.
The flip side of that is, if he is thinking, he's too late. He gets to it too late.
That's why, and that's where my head is at. I mean, I'm okay to be wrong. My feeling is he's thinking, and that's why he's late. He can't react naturally. He's not up to that speed. He's not up to that, right, that football IQ level where he can just react.
So how do you mitigate that? You give the helmet to Jelani Tavai, and they did that in Chicago, and Tavai played great. He was really good.
Oh,
by the way, Jared Davis had his best game in a long time, too.
Can we say how Tavai has surprised? There was WTF when he was drafted. Yeah. And then there was like, okay, we're gonna make ourselves feel good. We're gonna rationalize the situation. And then okay. He looked really good. He's a rookie with the headset and his helmet, mm-hmm, who's not super fast, is quote unquote a thumper, right? Who did really, really good out there. I mean, I have a lot of hope for that kid. I'm incredibly surprised. I'm really down on a different guy, Arawarie. I would love to see them try to get him out there for some snaps. He's active. He was active. I just want to see him out there and get some snaps, especially now as we get later in the year. And it may not be mathematical yet, but I've done the math.
They're going to lose this week. Then they play Washington after Dallas, right?
That's an Arawarie game.
They'll beat Washington.
Yeah,
I actually think they'll beat Chicago in
I do too. Two, so I absolutely.
There's a fairly good chance they're going to win two of the next three games, and then everybody's going to be like, "Oh my God, Patricia's back, baby! Wait, we're in this race. We can win out, and don't be that guy."
How many wins does that give them on the year if they win two of the next?
That would be five.
And then how many did you predict?
I think five.
There we go. Okay, but you get the Buccaneers and the Broncos still, right? So there is hope.
And so
they could be a 7-win year.
The preseason, I did pick them to lose to Tampa, and I will stand by that because I think they don't have an answer for Mike Evans at all.
Mike Evans is having a year like Mike Evans hasn't had. This is the year you expected out of him forever, right? And he's finally stepping up to the year that he was supposed to have.
And, by the way, Ronald Johnson, a guy that I took a lot of crap for liking in the draft, he's looking really good.
And who else will kill him is O.J. Johnson.
Oh, yeah. O.J. Howard.
He will destroy this Lions linebacking.
Remember, said he's playing on the same team as him because Jameis makes some weird turnovers, man.
My guy is going to be gone real soon. I'm telling you. I'm surprised Arian didn't tank them this year to get himself a nice quarterback. Jameis is not a winner. Jameis is not a winner.
He's not a guy that you can win with.
No.
I would not say that about Matthew Stafford. I put him in the level with Trubisky, with Marcus Mariota from that same draft class. You can't look at how good Tennessee is with Ryan Tannehill, who's not nearly as good. He's like Andy Dalton. He's not nearly as good as Stafford, but he's got a team.
How bad is Mariota? The problem is, my biggest problem, and here's back to the conversation we had earlier, is with Tannehill showing up and doing well, Vrabel's going to survive. And I wanted Tennessee to freak out, overreact, get rid of Vrabel, and bring him in to do our defense.
Mike Vrabel was my guy I wanted.
I will never forget.
From the very beginning, from a year before they fired Caldwell, I'm like, I want Mike Vrabel. I predicted he would be the next coach. I really thought that would happen.
Yeah, you were on the Vrabel train a year and a half before the mustache. Lions had something. Yeah.
I hate the mustache. I love the coach, though, and he's a very similar coach. He's of the Belichick tree, but he spent enough time with Andy Reid that he's got a little bit of a different lilt to
it. Interesting, yeah.
And I think that's working for him pretty
well. I feel like Vrabel as a defensive coordinator is and I know he's not going to be now because after that last win, there's just no way he's going without an absolute tank for the rest of the year. I feel like him as a defensive coordinator would put our team, our defense, we got Bevel. I feel like that's one of the things that would push us over the top. I think with him in 2 years, we win a playoff game easily.
So one of the things with Vrabel is he is not the rocket scientist. And I'm not using that term derisively at Matt Patricia here.
Right.
But he has that ability to connect and emotionally inspire players that Patricia does not have. Mm-hmm. And that that has clearly made a difference with
him. And that's what Patricia needs. He and we go to the yin and yang again. He needs a little bit of yin to that yang because he does what he does really well. He's really good at it.
Yes, he does.
But players need somebody else on the other side that they can go to because you have both kinds of players in the world.
They need the Vrabel. They need Chris Kocurek, the defensive line coach. They need that. That guy is not on the roster. Bo Davis is he's a little like that, the defensive line coach. They don't have the screamer. They don't have the.
I really like that Chris Kocurek is so clean in his language. I mean, clean living, right? And what we got with him.
He's hilarious.
He puts me to shame. He puts me to shame. And that's.
I've that's never something. Seen anybody go through a tin of Kodiak faster than Chris Kocurek.
All right. Hey, Riz, I could talk to you forever, man. You know how it is.
I know.
I know we've been going for a while. I want to let you go and enjoy your family and have a good night.
Yeah, my daughter just got home from volleyball practice after basketball practice. So
it's been nice. Yeah. All right. We'll close this out. Thank you, Riz, again. You're the bomb, man. Thank your family for giving us your time. Remember, we got a pregame, postgame, and halftime show this week from the suite and Ford Field with the Lions against the Cowboys. It'll be live. We'll be streaming the whole thing. And
good chance I will call into the postgame show this week. Since the Browns play Thursday night, I have Sunday afternoon relatively free.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, check it out. We'll have a live feed this week the whole time. It's going to be a great job. So with that, we're going to tell you that this week's show is over. Remember, we need your involvement. Use the comments and subreddit to give us your feedback. We love that. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Your donations are much loved and appreciated, and we take care of you folks as best we can. Oh, God, the cat toy. As best we can with giveaways, information, and other stuff. So get in there and join the Slack chat and all the other fun. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, how could you miss it? And on the Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very, very best place to see the Riz.
With no pants.
Ouch. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And also be sure to go to Detroit Lions Podcast and subscribe to the podcast so we can show up in your ear holes automagically. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, that was AMSR. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Quinn and Patricia don't want Cooter.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.